Hi, and welcome to Jolly's Spring 2018 podcast series. This is Heidi Hadley, the principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed, open-access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I will be speaking with Stephanie Loomis, who is a doctoral student at Georgia State University. Her manuscript is titled Twitter, a Pedagogical Tool in the High School Classroom. Thank you, Stephanie, for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about your work. To start off with, in educational discourses, social media in classroom spaces is sometimes situated as a nuisance or a distraction. Why do you argue in this piece for the inclusion of Twitter in classroom spaces?
I think Twitter can serve a purpose as a tool in the classroom, depending on how it's used. It's an opportunity for more equitable participation by students, particularly students who are quiet or shy or need time to process. Sometimes English language learners need a little extra time to think through these, and in the heat of a class discussion may not be able to have their voices heard. So Twitter gives them an opportunity to come in and participate fully. It also really allows you to extend the classroom discussion beyond the 45 minutes of actual class time, so that if somebody thinks of something later, they can tweet it to the class and participate that way. Asynchronous communication is a thing now in how we get along and how we talk to each other on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Speaking directly is just one of many tools, but now that asynchronous communication through social media, including Twitter, is something that students are used to, it seems to make sense to me to utilize it as many ways as we can.
So when you first incorporated Twitter into your classroom, what were some of the challenges that you faced?
The two biggest challenges were convincing people that this was a good idea. Parents, of course, were concerned about their minor children, and I didn't use it below the age of 15, with one exception. So I had a little bit going on there, but for those who were really concerned, I let them know you can make your Twitter account private where everything has to be approved by you, but they could also use their parents' Twitter feed so parents could monitor everything that was happening all the time, and that helped with parents a lot. And the administration, that was another challenge, but fortunately I worked with an administration that says that you can test this, and if we think it's going to work, then we'll let you go ahead and continue. So I tested it out on a small one class, doing little things like assignment reminders and notes for homework, nothing really major. So when they saw that the kids could actually use it and be responsible with it, then they let me expand it.
So one of the most helpful things, I think, from your article is that you offer some really practical advice on how to manage Twitter in terms of assessment and teacher workload. What did you find that worked for you and for your students?
There are a couple of things that worked really well, but the most important thing, I think, was setting the boundaries early and saying, you know, you cross this line, it's over, and we go back to old school classroom. And so I set boundaries on the kind of language that could be used. I set boundaries on the kinds of links that they could add. I set boundaries on my time. So that way, if they needed a question answered and they sent it out at 1 o'clock in the morning, they weren't expecting to hear from me, but their peers could actually respond to whatever the question happened to be. Usually at that time it was on what's due in class the next day. But for me, that was the best way to do it. The other thing that I think is really smart is to have a hashtag for each class. So that way you can address multiple classes or single classes at once through the hashtags, which simplifies my workload and simplifies the teacher workload. It also simplifies what the students are getting, because if they're only following the hashtag for their class, then that way they only get those particular tweets bouncing to their phones and they're not inundated.
Now, you also used a tweet deck. How does that work for what you're doing?
TweetDeck is one of the best apps I have seen for Twitter. It basically allows you to create columns for each hashtag that you're following. So I would have a column for each class And all of the tweets that had that hashtag on it would go into this column. I also have columns for other hashtags that I follow for EdTech and digital pedagogy. So that way I can keep track of what other people are doing at the same time. And I had the students follow specific things if we were working on a particular project that had its own hashtag, so they could actually utilize TweetDeck as well. It's a great app.
So how did your students respond to Twitter entering their classroom space?
Well, I was the coolest teacher ever because, you know, how many other teachers say, you know, bring your phones to class. We're going to tweet our way through the discussion today. But besides that, they liked the idea that they weren't being punished for having a phone. They were being trusted to be respectful and responsible with the technology. And, of course, there were a few who goofed around for a little while, but it didn't take too long before the novelty wore off and it just became the tool that I intended it to be, which was pretty cool. And they liked being able to think about things and come back to it later and tweet out something that they were thinking in class but couldn't articulate at the moment. And that was something that was really popular with a few of them.
So what advice do you have for teachers who might wish to try Twitter in their own classroom?
The most important thing is to be a Twitter user. If you aren't comfortable with the technology, don't introduce it into your classrooms until you are. So that would be the most important thing. I was already using Twitter actively as a professional development tool and in connecting with various people around the world through a couple of things that I had been involved in. So I was very comfortable with Twitter, which made it easy for me to scaffold the students and tell the parents, this is how it works, this is what we're going to do. Because it wasn't new to me, that gave me some credibility. The other things I would say is follow other teachers who are using Twitter and see what they're doing in their classrooms. There are several hashtags that I find really useful. And so I follow those and learn from those, and then that's how I also connect with other teachers who are doing similar things, and we can share lesson plans. It becomes a professional learning community that's virtually housed.
Well, thank you, Stephanie, so much for speaking with me today about your article. I'm really looking forward to seeing it in the journal in the spring. Listeners, to read this manuscript, you can check out Jolly Spring Issue to be published in April.